Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Sports Station. It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We got lineup issues, we got errors, and we can't score with runners in scoring position. That is the latest on the Braves. We're going to fill you in on all of that and much more. But this weekend, the huge decision we've been waiting on finally came down, and it's going to be something that we're going to be talking about for a very long time because it's going to change fundamentally how college football, certainly basketball, men's basketball, but all college athletics across the board is now done. And we got to talk about this with our buddy Connor Riley. Let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
So, Connor, we finally get the decision from Judge Claudia Wilkin, who approved the deal between the NCAA and the conferences. Okay, so now what? What happens next with where this is going to go? Specifically, let's just talk Georgia. What happens next?
Yeah, so I think the big picture thing is that now, with the House settlement signed, starting July 1st, Georgia can begin sharing revenue payments, not just with the football team, but with all athletics. Now, obviously, the football program is going to command a wide portion of that money that is going and being doled out, $20.5 million. $2 million of that is going to go to new scholarships, so that's really, you're working more with a pool of about $18 million. Okay. 75% of that is expected to go to the football program. And from there, you will begin divvying out payments to players. The other prong that comes with this is the new NIL clearinghouse, NIL Go, run by Deloitte, that will examine and try its best to determine fair market value for NIL deals. And if something is so egregiously over the line,
right,
then that deal will not be allowed to go through. I think that's where a lot of the question now lies and reacts, is what happens when that first NIL deal is deemed to be not good because you have someone that is willing to pay it. Does somebody sue? I would venture to guess almost certainly yes. And then there becomes the question of, does this NIL Go arm, the clearinghouse, hold up under court scrutiny? And that's sort of the thing we're all waiting on here. It sounds like all the schools, specifically within the SEC, want to and are willing to play by these rules. But when teams start losing games and they start falling behind, we'll see if that still ends up being the case.
Yeah, because I think it was talked about at the SEC coaches meetings down in Destin about, like, hey, we got to stop, you know, eventually no more court. And this sounds like this will be another, I feel an injunction coming, you know, and it seems like you're right. Somebody who's willing to pay $5 million and this clearinghouse is going to, but again, if this is the new framework and this has been, I guess, who decides on this? This is from this new Brian Seely, because he's the new CEO. He appoints,
yes.
And Deloitte finds the valuation. No, that's too over the top. You can't be $5 million. Texas can only pay that guy $4
million. Right. So, you know, the Deloitte clearinghouse is supposedly will have a full look at all these NIL deals. And from there, they will be able to determine, okay, what is necessarily fair market value and what isn't. And then Brian Seely, he is the head of the College Sports Commission, which you will also run the enforcement arm in case someone is violating these rules or breaking these rules. They will be able to come down and figure out how to go about doing this. You know, I absolutely agree with you, Mike, though. It just seems like we're waiting for an injunction. We're waiting for more court. That's kind of behind the scenes the way college sports and college football have gone in recent years. The whole reason this health settlement has become such a big deal because it was in court for so long, and now we have finally seen it come to resolution. And so, you know, I'm skeptical in the regard that we're going to see everybody play by the rules. This is the last major lawsuit that the college sports game that we have seen, I think, really spin out of control in the last 18 months or so is now going to be cleaned up. I'm very skeptical of that, but this is a big step forward by these schools now that they have this done. And now they can start moving closer towards other big picture ideas, whether it be a college football playoff format, or the decision to go to one single transfer portal window in either January or April.
Connor, but let's be clear about this. This, what you're discussing right now, has to do with competitive balance. And the way you get that is that I don't get to overpay and have a roster necessarily $10 million more than you, and certainly I'm not overpaying for players. So by doing this, and if it works, you are creating, allegedly, competitive balance. The Nico situation doesn't play out after this ruling comes down because nobody's going to pay him more than what he was getting at Tennessee, no matter what he thinks he should get, right?
Correct. The idea specifically when it comes to NIL, because you've got what you're getting from the schools and then NIL as well, you're not going to have that level of imbalance there, so to speak. That's why, in large part, you've seen specifically in this recruiting cycle – a lot of kids announce early, get their recruitments done, because those, you know, some of those recruitments, the Jackson Cantwell, the five-star offensive lineman who ended up at Miami, because of the timing of that deal, it's not going to be under scrutiny from this new NIL Go recruiting arm. Now, moving forward, if a guy, you know, announces out of the blue that he is signing, that will be under scrutiny, and that NIL deal will be examined. So that is something that is different now moving forward. And to your point, Carl, I think this more levels the playing field to what we saw, because we had seen in recent cycles, not just in football, you know, the Texas Tech pitcher who led them all the way to the precipice of winning the national championship. She was a $1 million athlete, and she's more of a, I think, a one-off than necessarily something you're going to see on an every year basis. But what it does is it prevents someone from, you know, like say Texas Tech, who was drawing a lot of scrutiny this year, from going in and saying, hey, we've got $20 million we can burn. Let's just spend as much money and try to get as many quality players as we can and make one real big run at this. You've seen Texas Tech do that. I think you've seen Texas, USC, Ohio State last year, I think, is a great example of that. Those, I think, are a little less frequent and maybe happen more organically now like they used to.
It's Connor Riley, guys, from Dog Nation, our weekly visit with him. And by the way, much like the NFL, the cap right now, they projected to go up 4% each year in 10 years on this current deal, Carl, so it will go up a little bit. Hey, after we had our weekly visit with you, Greg McElroy made some news by saying he thinks Georgia's going to have a top five defense. I think it's the fourth best defense in the country. You buying that?
If that's the case, you feel a lot better about what this team can be this season. By the end of the year, I see it. They've got a lot of young pieces that I think if they come together, everything is there on paper to have an elite defense. They've got promising young defensive linemen. They've got as deep and as talented as a secondary as they've had. The question is, does it come together and does the schedule allow it to come together? Because sometimes with these, you know, top five defensive rankings and things that come out of that, a lot of that is dependent on schedule. That's why for so long, I think you see so many top 10, Big Ten defenses be top 10 nationally, because there are just a lot of very bad, frankly, Big Ten offenses. Georgia's not necessarily going to have that this year. They're going to play Texas at the end of the season when Arch Manning is much more fully formed than he is at the beginning of the season. They got to go play DJ Lagway in Florida in the beginning of November. They get Alabama and Ole Miss coming to Athens. They got to go to Auburn. You know, Tennessee has always been a potent offense, so I'm a little more skeptical of that this season. They're going to play another really tough schedule, and I do think that's in part why last year you saw Georgia's defense for a time in certain games. You think the Clemson game, you think the Texas games, look like a top five unit, but they weren't necessarily able to sustain it over the course of the season. I'm still skeptical with what they have on the defensive front right now, that they're going to be able to sustain that over the course of the season. But I do think that they're going to be able, in certain instances, to be able to summon an elite defensive performance.
Yeah, that's my concern, that defensive line. I'm with you. I want to ask you more about this ruling. What happens to, should I say, what's next? Athletes as employees? A CBA? Where do they go beyond this now that this has happened?
I think that, you know, collective bargaining, athletes as employees, I think that's the final step. And I think that's where there is some, you know, hesitation in declaring this a big win, because we know that's ultimately where this has to go. But at the same point in time, and this is something that Judge Wilkins raise. No, collective bargaining, when you have so many college athletes coming in every year and cycling in for only a four-year window, the idea of trying to get them all organized together and trying to foresee issues that are going to arise over the next 4 or 5 years of a CBA become a lot trickier to do. So I think for right now, this is something that they hope sticks for a while, because while some have mentioned, I know Tennessee Athletic Director Danny White voiced this and saying we at Tennessee would ultimately like to make our athletes employees. Not everyone is there yet, and that is going to take, I think, a lot of litigation, as we brought up with Mike earlier, to ultimately get to that point. But I do think that very smart people recognize that is where this ultimately goes. And again, it furthers a step of college athletics looking more and more like professional athletes, with ultimately potentially a CBA involved.
Because I know you kind of answered the question, because remember that was it Dartmouth or somebody was up in the Ivy League was talking about trying to unionize?
Yeah, it was Dartmouth.
Yeah, and then, you know, once, and that's the nightmare for somebody who's a college football fan. You think, oh, great, I want to get a strike now. And they'll strike right before the season begins. And it just seems like, you know, there's no end to it. That's why everybody who felt like this judge's ruling was going to be sort of like cure-all, it seems like, as you're bringing up, is more questions than answers, Connor.
Yep, and that's why this next month is going to be really, really interesting in college sports, because you have NIL go, the aforementioned clearinghouse going up later this month. You have, starting July 1st, payments going up. What all does this look like? Even from a reporting standpoint, you know, like how public are these payments that are being made to players via revenue sharing? Like how public is all that going to be? Because we know what the pros make. Is that same, you know, dollar figure amount, not obviously not going to be as high, but is the availability of that, of what these guys are making, of how much of the cap they make, is that going to be publicly available? It feels like this step, and not just because of the ruling, but everything that college sports has been leading to, leads to another step of professionalization of college athletics, college football in particular. And I certainly understand why a lot of people have grown frustrated by that, because myself included, you know, I like that college football and the NFL are very different entities in the way they run and the way that they interact. And if college football is just going to become a cheap knockoff of the pros, that takes a lot of the joy that I think we've gotten out of Saturdays, out of this sport, where, you know, the Saturdays themselves, you might be able to enjoy them, but you're not able to have the same year-round enjoyment from the sport that I think we used to.
What about the guy that's going to enforce all this? What do you know about him? I know he's got a baseball background, but, boy, it seems like he's got a lot of duties.
He does. This is a job that, again, the College Sports Commission, Brian Seely coming over, has a lot of background both in the legal system and with professional sports, working with Major League Baseball. This is a guy who, again, the commissioners of the college athletic conferences, you know, Greg Sankey, Brett Yormark of the Big 12, Tony Petitti of the Big 10, came together and said, this is the guy that we want running this. We want him to have no affiliation and not pick someone who had been in the college game for so long. That way they hope that there is, you know, no bias or no preferred handouts to specific leagues. Again, they want this to run as unbiased as they possibly can and hope that they're able to keep everyone in line. But again, I think with what we know from college athletics, from anyone that's been following this, it's only going to take one school going rogue, and we probably know who those schools are. You can run through the names, the Miamis, the Tennessees, you know, over the years, whoever they may be, who have consistently tried to skirt around and get ahead. We know that they're probably going to try to do that again and stay one step ahead of Brian Seely and this new college sports commission.
All right, but guys, we said only time will tell. One thing for certain, you don't have the depth because the money has to stretch and cover the 105. As you said, players get grandfathered in. But do you feel that Georgia is as well positioned because of what Kirby's built as anybody else to get back there and get the natty? It just seemed like, not that it was an outlier for Ohio State and Michigan, basically they kept their seniors and upperclassmen. They paid them to stay. So do you feel that the national champion comes from the Big Ten and the SEC again?
From the Big Ten and the SEC, if you're giving the betting odds, yes, I do think that. And I think the biggest thing you laid out there, Mike, it was Michigan and it was Ohio State having the seniors stay in place and then thus ponying up to get them. And so the big things to monitor going forward are how well are you able to keep your younger recruiting classes together to get to the point where those guys are still with your program at the end of their junior year and deciding, hey, do I want to come back, be a senior, or do I want to go on a professional link? If Georgia can do that, and I believe that they can, I believe they're doing a better job.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Identifying those types of kids and players moving forward, I am confident that Kirby Smart's going to be able, you know, not to win back-to-back. I think that's going to become even harder, but have sort of those one-off years like you saw in Ohio State just have, like you saw in Michigan have, where all the stars and pieces come together.
Great stuff, Connor. Tell the people where they can follow you and follow all your stuff.
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Twitter at @KConnorReilly. We've got a ton of more reporting coming out about this new House settlement and the way it is going to continue to impact college football.
All right, man. Great job. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.